So I've got the slide up for the kids, the juniors, so that you can start writing. I know when I was in school, writing wasn't, like, I was not writing for the A team. I was slow. So I thought I'd give the guys a heads up. So Andre, Herman, and Dyspan, I could feel a heads up gegee. Ek kan slank begin neerskryf daar. But then I'd also like to have you guys participate, especially the grown-ups, if you will help us read today. And so we'll be looking at the life of Peter, and we all know Peter, like, I think when I look at all the disciples, I think we all kind of have, as we read the Gospels, we've got this disciple we relate to. You kind of see your characteristics in this guy and how they follow Jesus, and you read their reactions and you thought, that would have been me in that moment. And so I'm not mocking Peter today. I'm talking with great respect for Peter today. But I'd like us to start with John 18, verse 11. And maybe I'll just read this. Now, I'm reading John 18, verse 11 and Matthew, because we'll mainly be focusing on the scriptures in Matthew. But John is the only gospel who names this guy who pulled the sword as Peter. So that verse says, John 18, verse 11 says, Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink from the cup my Father has given me?" And trust me, this kind of goes against my nature. I think those of you who know me, I would much rather be up here calling you to battle, calling you to grab your sword, let's go to war, let's get stuff done for the kingdom. That's my character. I would much rather be calling you to battle today, sharpen your axes and all that kind of stuff. But today, and I think for the last 2 weeks, God has just, these words have just been echoing in my ears. Put your sword away. And I would like to look at what happened to a guy who was following Jesus so closely. So closely. He was one of the inner circle disciples. He was walking in Jesus' footsteps. He was healing the sick. He was doing miracles. He was chasing demons all alongside the ministry of Jesus. And then he gets to this point where he is supposed to be a disciple of Christ, a messenger by now. He's an ex-fisherman. And this guy comes to a point break, where he pulls out a sword and makes a very big mistake. And I think it's God's grace that he only chopped off the guy's ear, because he's a fisherman. He's not that good a swordsman that he would decide to take someone's ear off. I think he was actually trying to chop the guy's head off. So by God's grace, that didn't happen. But then Jesus gets rebuked by Jesus again. It's not the first time. So we'll be looking at three times Jesus got rebuked when he completely stepped out of line with what Jesus was busy with. And I want us to look at that in our own lives, because honestly, we would have done the same. And honestly, we are sometimes doing the same. Because when we act out of our own unbelief, out of our own flesh and our own sinful nature, and when we act out of our own emotions, those are the decisions that destroy us. Those are the decisions that actually takes off us off course and let the wheels fall off. So we'll be looking at three times that Peter messed it up. So Matthew 10, verse 33-40. Who's willing to read that? That's quite a long one.
But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household.
So Peter was there when Jesus was teaching this. Whoever denies me, I will deny in front of the Father. So Peter, having a very close relationship with Jesus, I mean, Peter is really intimate to Jesus. He's listening to every word. And he hears this. Jesus says, no one will if you ever deny me, I will deny you in front of the Father. So in Jesus, in Peter's head, I really need to get this right. In Peter's head, this was kind of like a red flag. If you deny Jesus, it's done. And then Jesus says, but I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. So that must have stuck to Peter's head somewhere in the back there, like noted, note to self. He came to bring the sword. And we actually see the close relationship Peter has with Jesus, and he's almost like protective over Jesus. Like, we have friends like that, that just by nature they become protective over us. And Peter kind of took this role around Jesus where he became protective over Jesus. So in Matthew 16, verse 21, do we have someone on this side who's willing to read that for us? Matthew 16, from verse 21, and then you'll be reading up until 23.
From that day, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's.
So what's happening here is Jesus is proclaiming his death that will come. And Jesus isn't saying this is optional. Jesus is telling him that this is why I came. I will go, and I will suffer, and I will be killed, and then I will be raised up from the dead. And Peter takes Jesus aside, and he says, never. Lord, never. This will never happen to you. And Jesus answers him with words that we really need to zoom in on. Peter, you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Peter, you're not getting it. Peter, I came to do something, and this is the plan. This isn't a speed bump. This isn't I couldn't do it. This is why I came. I came so that I can die, and then so that I can be raised from the dead. Peter gets rebuked. I think he's the only guy who can claim that the church actually heard him. I think Andrew mentioned this once. Who would like to be called Satan by the pastor? Imagine SJ on one Friday night comes to me and he has this verse he wants to share. And I say, no, sit down, Satan. You mors my preek op. That hurts. I think he wouldn't be coming the next Friday night. So Jesus rebukes him and he says, Peter, focus. I'm telling you, this is why I came. So Peter, he completely misses what Jesus is busy with and he gets rebuked. And Jesus gives him a warning. Peter, start setting your mind on the things of God, not the things of man. And then Matthew 17, verse 1. This is the second time Peter thinks up something clever that does not seem clever at all. We have ons lees aan hierdie kant. Donet, thank you.
And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only.
So in this, what was happening there is the three inner circle disciples were taken up the mountain and Jesus was transfigured. Now for the younger guys, for the younger oukies, dat beteken Jesus het begin anders lyk. Sy gesig het, hy was gevul met die gees, God het op hom gekom en hy het net geglow. And so what happened was, we have Jesus there, we have Moses, and we have Elijah. This was a massive moment, because this was actually, since the Garden of Eden, that plan, that promise God made Eve when she left. When they left the garden, said, you know, one day out of you there will be the seed. And everyone was preaching it, everyone was proclaiming it, everyone was prophesying. Finally, there's Jesus, there's Moses, there's Elijah. The significance about this is that the law and the prophets all point to Jesus. We have the law, we have all the prophecies, and we have Jesus. And God says, listen to my son. He's above the law. He's above the prophecies. This is what it's all about. All of the other things were just pointing to him. He was the reason for the law. He was the reason for the prophets. But it's all about him now. Peter, in that moment, I don't know where he gets this from. He's like, so good we're here, Lord. Let's build some tents. And you guys can just stay here. As if Jesus came to retire on a mountain. Like, this is the moment. Very big moment. All the scriptures, everything they had, all line up to this moment. And Peter misses it. He says, Lord, I'll build a tent and you guys can just stay here. And I love the Bible. All translations actually says, and while he was still speaking, he was interrupted. Peter was still telling them that I'll build you a tent and this and that. Some translations say, I'll build you houses or logs. And God just, it says, behold. Just he was just completely interrupted. And God starts speaking. This brilliant plan of Peter is never mentioned again. Just never. It was kind of this awkward moment where we have this holy moment, and then this guy jumps up and says, I'll build you some tents. And then behold, okay, let's continue this with this. Just forget that ever happened, Peter. Just leave that plan. Why? Because he wasn't taking in the moment. He wasn't realizing what was happening in front of him. Everything. Mankind's history lining up. The whole creation all lining up to this moment. And he wants to go off to build tents. Again, I'm not mocking him. I probably would have been just as dumb in that moment. But he wasn't into what God was busy with. And then we get to Matthew 26, verse 49. By this time, Peter probably has a good storm raging inside of him. Because he's got this very close relationship with Jesus. And Jesus has so many times told him, Peter, I'm going to die on the cross. This is how it has to be. Peter wants to protect Jesus. Jesus said, you will never, no one may deny me. But then again, Jesus also told Peter, you'll deny me. So there's this whole fight going in on Peter's heart. I'm not going to deny Jesus. I'm not going to deny Jesus. I think that's why he was the first one brave enough to try and defend Jesus, because in his way of thinking, that was him not denying Christ. All the other guys ran away, but I'll pull out my sword. I'll fight this army, man alone, for Jesus. Peter will truly, truly lay down his life for Jesus in that moment. And Jesus stops and rebukes him again in that moment. We gaan nou vir ons lees.
Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached out for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?"
So again, big moment, the moment Jesus came for. The moment where he's betrayed by Judas. They arrest Jesus and Peter takes out his sword and starts wielding the sword. And then he's rebuked by Jesus. Jesus says, "Do you think I cannot end this? I can ask my Father now and he will send enough angels to wipe out humanity. Do you think I cannot end this if I wanted to? Do I need one guy with a sword? No, this is the plan, Peter. I've been telling you this all along, Peter." Jesus rebukes him and says, "If you grab by your sword, you will die by the sword." And then he says, how will the scriptures be fulfilled? Peter, I've been telling you this. Peter, history has been telling you this. Peter, the Bible has been telling you this. The scriptures, the prophecies, everything's been lining up to this. You're not into what God's busy with. And Peter gets rebuked, and then Peter, obviously that's point break for Peter. That's where Peter runs away. That's where Peter gives up trying to understand, trying to make sense of it, trying to defend. That's where Peter runs away. And I honestly think that so many times we can be so busy with Jesus. We can be so busy with the things of Jesus. We can be so busy with church life. In our busyness with Jesus, we can completely miss Jesus. We can completely miss what he is busy with. I came to a point where I read those words, put your sword down. And I just felt that applied to me. I felt God telling me, you don't know what I'm busy with. Stop trying to defend. Stop trying to attack. Just yield. Just wait on me as we are through the worship today. Just wait on me. I've got a plan, and I'm busy with my plan, but you are not close enough, and your thoughts are not high enough to understand what I'm busy with. Put your sword down. And I think in many ways we need to apply this in our own lives. If we go to 1 John 4, verse 13, this one I'll read. 1 John 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and him in us, because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be our Savior, to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and him in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. It's easy to miss what God is busy with if we're not abiding in him. I put John 15 up there, but I'm not even going to read it. We all should know that by now. Jesus says, I am the vine. Abide in me. Jesus prayed this in his prayer in John 17. I didn't even put that up there. Jesus says, I'm praying so that, Father, as we are one, that they might become one. One with me one with you, all of us become one. So we can be so busy with things of God that in our private walk with Jesus, we can completely miss what he's busy with us. And then we don't understand why things are going wrong. We don't understand because we've got our plans, and we put God into the plan, and we're working with this plan. And then we thought we had all the ducks in the row, and things are just not working out. And then it's like a storm in us, because why isn't this happening? Why are things going wrong? Why is God not blessing this? Why does it seem, in Peter's mind, in the disciples' mind, they were waiting for their king, right? So the earthly plan for success in that moment would have been Jesus coming, becoming king, ruling all kingdoms, establishing his kingdom. That's it, victory. The victory Jesus had in mind is coming and dying on a cross. Completely different to their plans. But they missed it. He told them 3 times, I'm going to be crucified. They missed it. And we need to be careful that we don't miss what God is busy with us. Busy with us individually, busy with us as a church. Don't be quick to pull the sword out. When things start going wrong, when we don't understand, don't pull the sword out. Put down your sword. Put it away. Wait on Jesus. Wait on God. Abide in him. Are you truly in him? And can you trust him enough to say, God, this doesn't feel right, but I'll trust you with this. This doesn't feel normal. This goes against my flesh. This goes against my nature. But God, I will trust you because you have a plan. And I don't see what plans you have, but you have a plan. So it's a very short sermon. But we have two people in this category. If you create your own category as a third guy who's got all the ducks in a row, then that's cool. I didn't even include you in my prayer today. But I've got two people I'd like to pray for today. So either you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you have no clue what's going on. You don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening. You don't think there's a God actually in control. You don't think there's a God that's really helping you. You don't think there's a God who has the best interest, your best interest on his heart. You're just going with it and hope by your strength, the things you can do, things will work out. And I want to tell you, no, there's a Jesus who has a plan and who came for a plan. And you're part of his plan. You're not that one he forgot about. You're not that one who slipped through his fingers. You're not the one getting left behind. He came for each one of us and died for each one of us, for our sins. That's why we have the table at the back today. Jesus said, do this until I come back. And so until he comes back, we look to the cross. We look to what he did. We look to the plan he had when he came. And we rejoice in that because he's coming back. No matter the war that's breaking out, no matter the chaos that's going on, no matter the things that they say about politics or plans or economic or whatever, we have our hope in Jesus, in that table, because he said he's coming back for us. And until that day comes, he is with us, he is in us, we abide in him, and he abides in us. And we walk closely with him, because we have work to do while we are here, but mostly that applies to us putting our sword down, not grabbing to our own ideas, our own plans. So if you've never come to that point where you've yielded, as jy nog nooit op 'n punt gekom het waar jy knie buig en sê, weet wat, ek het eerlikwaar nog nooit oorgegee vir die Here nie. Ek het eerlikwaar nog nooit gesê, Here, kom in my lewe in. Vat beheer. Dankie vir wat jy vir my gedoen het aan die kruis, want ek kan nie myself red nie. As jy jouself vandag daar vind, dan wil ek graag hê ons moet vir jou kan bid voor die tyd, voordat ons na die tafel toe gaan. Maar ek wil hê dat jy so 'n bietjie moet stoei daarmee in jou hart, terwyl ek praat oor die tweede kategorie van die mense. Die tweede kategorie is waar ek myself bevind het hierdie week. Is waar jy dink, jy verstaan waarom die Here besig is. En dan vind jy uit, jy weet eintlik nie waarom hy besig is nie. Jy dink jy stap so naby aan hom, dat jy presies weet dat as hy links gaan, gaan jy links, as hy regs gaan, gaan jy regs. Jy dink jy het dit, dan gebeur daar iets, en dan sal hierdie storm binne in jou, en jou natuur is, ek sal hierdie fix, ek sal... Jy verregverdig dit deur om te dink, you think you're going to fix this with your sword, and you reason, and you think you will do this by your strength, with your ideas, with your plans, you will fix this. And you think you're defending Christ in what you're doing. That's what Peter did. He thought he was defending Jesus. He thought he was being super brave, jumping in front of an army with one man with a sword. And then he gets rebuked. And sometimes I get rebuked, and sometimes all of us get rebuked, but that's for our own good. We need to get rebuked. Jesus had such a great love for Peter. He never gave up on him. He never chased him away. He never said, Peter, you've three strikes, man. You're out. Just get. You're not getting it. Leave. No. When Jesus comes back, he has the last meal with Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? And we all know the story, right? It's in the ending of John, the gospel. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Take care of my sheep. The guy that denied him, the guy that stepped out of line more than anyone, I think next to Judas, Peter kind of messed up the most. And then he's given a task by Jesus. And Jesus didn't tell him, Peter, watch my sheep, as if Jesus had some forgotten flock of sheep that while he was in heaven, Peter had to look after. Now, this is his church. This is the very thing Jesus came and died for. This is the very thing that Jesus came and established, that's us. That's the one thing Jesus had on his heart when he came. He died on a cross so that the church can be built on that. And then he goes to Peter, the guy who messed up so many times, and he says, Peter, will you take care of my bride? Will you take care of this? Will you look after this? Will you feed this? Will you love this? Will you protect this? The most prized possession of Jesus is his bride, is his church, is us. And God goes to a man like Peter and says, Peter, will you take care of this for me while I'm gone? You're in charge now, Peter. You take care of them. I want to tell you that if you've messed up so many times that you think God is basically one more strike and you're out, you're wrong. God still has a plan for you, and he's never given up on you. And he wants you to continue, and he's asking you today, will you continue with this? Will you take care of my sheep? We've been called to go out in the nations and make disciples. That's Jesus saying, will you go out there and find my sheep that are lost? And will you take care of them? So I'm just going to go ahead and do a prayer before we go into the communion. But I want to ask us all just to close our eyes and bow our heads. Then if there's anyone who's never really, honestly given their life to Jesus, who said, Lord, I give up. You have your way and help me because my way is not working. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need what you did for me on the cross. I need my sins forgiven. I need to be washed by your blood today. I want to become part of your body, part of this plan, Lord, because this is your plan. The church was your plan. I don't want to be the guy out of the plan. I want to be the one in the plan. If there's anyone like that today, while everyone has their hands, their eyes closed, I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Just take this one step today and raise your hand if that's you, and I will pray for you today. If there's anyone like that today. Then I want to pray for the next guys, the ones who thought they were following Jesus very, very closely, but they've missed it. And you know you've missed it because there will be a storm raging in your heart that makes you very uncomfortable, that steals your peace, and that steals your quiet time with Jesus, because when we get confused, we don't go to him in intimacy. If you've lost your peace, if you have a storm and you don't understand why things are going the way they're going, and you thought you were walking with Jesus, and you are struggling with this, and today you want to lay that down, if there's anyone like that, you can raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you today. Thanks, I see the hands. So Lord, today we come to your table and we repent, Lord. And we thank you for your discipline, the way you would rebuke us, rather to restore us than throw us away because we just don't get it. Lord, help us to really listen to your voice again and to hear it clearly. Quiet all the voices in this world, Lord. Quiet all the voices that's just so loud with the media and everything that's going on and the storms raging in our own hearts. Quiet that, Lord, so we can hear your voice today. Help us come back to you, Father. Help us run into your arms. Help us fall at your feet. And just restore that close, close relationship we had with you once. I ask that in Jesus' name.